Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, this is Jim Richards. I'm going to talk to you today about sharing in the resurrection of Jesus. And this is all part of this incredible new series that we have called The Faith of Jesus. I want to tell you something. Jesus used his faith to conquer every problem we're ever going to face. We don't have to use our faith to conquer the problem. We just got to use our faith to believe that we're in him. He used his faith to deal with all the issues of life. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't need to waste our faith trying to believe for all this individual stuff. We just got to believe the truth about who we are and what we have in Jesus. Listen, you can get this entire series at www.impactministries.com. Be sure and check it all out, because this is the heart of the gospel. This is what you really need to know, and this is where you need to have your faith if you're going to make your life work and you're going to get out from under the burden and the strain and the strive and trying to hard enough to believe. Share it in the resurrection, and today we're going to share resurrection communion. Three Days That Changed the World is one of the most important series you're ever going to hear in your entire life, because everything that we need to know about how to live in victory is rooted in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to share things with you in 3 days that changed the world that's going to open your eyes and cause your faith to explode. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells you this will ignite your faith when you begin to commune or connect with the resurrection of Jesus. You know, today we're talking about sharing in the resurrection of Jesus. And really, we could have just put the word communion in there. But if I put the word communion, people are going to think, oh, I know what he's talking about. You know something? The word communion basically means the thing that we share in common with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that we share in common with the Lord Jesus Christ is the death, burial, and the resurrection. Because I want to tell you something. God placed all that we have ever been and all that we think we are and all that we'll ever would ever be outside of Jesus, died in him, so that in him we could be raised up as a new creation. And I'm telling you, there's no way to calculate this. There's no way to explain this. So this will never make sense to the natural mind. But I'm going to tell you something. After over 40 years in ministry, this, when people get their faith wrapped around this reality about who we are in Jesus, just the fact that we are in him and begin to share in that new life with him, people's lives change more than any other thing that you could ever imagine. You know, The Bible tells, you know, we talked about this, is, you know, that while Jesus was here on earth, he yielded to the grace of God and he had personal victory in his life. And that was a model to us. But we talked about this last week, how that when he died, when he was on the cross, he became our specific sins. And we died with him and in him. I can't get my head around it. There's no way to understand that. That's one of those things I had to look at years ago and just say, you know what? I don't get this, but I'm going to choose to believe it. And that's just the way this whole thing works. Romans 6:8 says this, says, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, and death no longer has dominion over him. You see, once we accept this reality that we were in him, once we accept that, it's only then that we accept our death. Now, when we accept our death, that's when we accept the fact that sin has no more power over us. That's when we accept the fact that we're a new creation. We have no excuses to keep diddling around in sin. We have no excuses to keep playing games. There's no reason to keep playing those games. And anything that we're tempted to do, we could overcome it if we want to. And that's, you know, that's pretty challenging. So a lot of people don't want to accept that. They don't want to accept that as a reality. They think they've got to have these these sins. They think they got to fulfill the lust of their flesh in order to be happy. And the real truth is all they're going to be is confused and depressed. You know, it's amazing how many Christians are depressed. I spent a long conversation on the phone last night with one of my buddies. We were talking about how many people, Christians we counsel with, that are depressed. It's pretty simple. You got a sin problem. You're diddling around with stuff that the Bible says if you do these things, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God's not talking about going to heaven. It's not talking about where you go when you die. It's talking about where you live right now. You can't inherit. You can't take hold of the kingdom of God whenever you don't accept the truth about who you are in Jesus, when you don't accept that you're a new creation, and when you don't yield to your righteousness, to who you really are in Jesus. So once we accept this reality that we have died in Him, and according to Romans 6:14, you know, sin doesn't have any more power over me. Why? Because I'm no longer under the law. I'm under grace. Why am I under grace? Because I'm in Him, and He's filled with grace. He's filled with power. He's filled with strength, and I share in everything that He is and everything that He has. So once I accept that, then I move on to this reality of the fact that we are seated with Him as the resurrected Lord. See, I am not as He was when He walked the earth. I am as He is now, seated at the right hand of God. I am righteous. I'm a child of God. I am approved. I'm accepted. I'm anointed. I'm called. I'm chosen. And so are you. You may not realize it, but you are. That's why Colossians 3, verse 1 says, "Since then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind," set your affection. That's actually the word imagination. "Set your imagination on the things above and not on the things on earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And when Christ, who is our life, appears, and that word "appears," that's not just talking about the second coming, even though it's part of it. It's talking about whenever He is manifest, when you see Him, when you grasp who He is as the resurrected Lord. Whenever we accept this truth, when we accept this reality, something happens in us. And you know what happens? It says, "Then you also will appear with Him in glory." And that word "glory" is God's view, God's opinions, God's revelation, how God sees it, and how God wants it to be. So when I see Jesus as He is and believe that I am in Him, then I get to see myself as I really am, as God really sees, as God really sees me. I want to tell you something. The Bible says we have been made alive. We've been raised up together to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Him. Everything that He has, we have. So I want you to understand something. God raised Jesus from the dead. And this is really important. We got into this last week and we never finished it up. But I want you to understand something. Jesus became my sin. Jesus became your sin. Because He had become sin, He was alienated from God. Because He was alienated from God. See, spiritual death means that you're separated from God. That's all it really means. His spirit didn't die. That's not what I'm saying. I don't even understand all of the dynamics. I don't think there's any way to explain it. People say, "Well, are you saying that Jesus became a sinner?" Well, in a certain sense, because He became my sin. He didn't have any sin of His own, but He became my sin. He became your sin. So He's alienated from God. That's when He said, my God, why have You forsaken me?" And when He died, He went to Hades, the abode of the wicked. And the reason He had to do all of these things is because the only way to deliver me from all of these things was for me to be in Him and Him to pay this price. See, the law of double jeopardy comes out of the Old Testament. You can't be tried twice for the same crime. And everything that Jesus accomplished was based on the laws of the Old Testament. That's why people who don't understand the Old Testament don't even understand God. They don't even understand the New Testament. And so Jesus, if there had been any part of this that He left out, then we would have to do it ourselves. We'd have to pay that price ourselves. So we're in Him. And then I want you to understand something. Jesus, and we talked about this last week, was the firstborn of many brethren. You know, in a certain sense, you could say that Jesus is the first person to be born again from the death of sin. Because other people had already been physically raised from the dead, and God raised Jesus up. Jesus was not raised up by his own power. The Bible says, in fact, he was raised by the glory of God, the view, the opinion, the reality of God. Romans 6:4, Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So, you know, it's interesting, that word glory not only means view and opinion, it can also mean reputation. God's reputation was at stake in upholding his word about Jesus, just like his reputation is at stake in upholding his word about us. So here we are. We are raised up. The Bible says, according to the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Man, we were raised up with him. And now we are seated with him in heavenly places. Now the inheritance that is his is ours. And I'll tell you what I want you to do. You may have to put this program on pause and go get you some crackers and some juice or whatever you want to use to take communion with, because I think we should take communion based on the resurrection of Jesus. You know, 1 Corinthians 11:25 says this. It says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. I want to tell you, this covenant we have with God is based on the covenant of peace, and not based on the blood of bulls and goats, not based on something that was a type and a shadow. This is the spiritual reality. This is God's ultimate goal for mankind. And he said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So you put this thing on pause, go get you something. Let's get ready. Let's take communion. Let's share in and use our faith to fellowship with the resurrected Jesus, to share in this resurrected life with him. Now, the Bible tells you this. I'm assuming you've got your stuff now. I'm assuming you've taken it off of pause now. It tells us in verse 27 that we need to examine ourselves. It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, man, I've heard some horror sermons preached about this. I've heard people, you know, people down at the altar screaming and crying. I've seen people that the church wouldn't let them take communion because they had struggles in their life. But verse 28 tells us how to do this in a worthy way. He says, listen to this. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That word examine means to examine, to find yourself approved. In other words, if I'm taking this cup, and this cup doesn't turn into the blood of Jesus. This cup is just a physical representation. It's just some way for me to connect my faith to the real deal. Well, the real deal is that by the blood of Jesus, all of our sins are washed clean. So I take this cup and I'm reminding myself, I'm doing this in remembrance of his death. I'm reminding myself that because of this blood, I am worthy. As a matter of fact, you know, whenever you take this, as and I encourage you right now, just to say this out loud, this blood has cleansed me. This blood makes me qualified. This blood makes me worthy. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I am washed. I am clean. I am righteous in him. And I take this in remembrance of what happened in his blood. That's what you call communion. That's what you call sharing what you have in common with him. And then the Bible goes on to say this. It says, for if he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. That word judgment is the word condemnation. If you don't remind yourself that the blood of Jesus is what makes you righteous, if you don't remind yourself that the blood of Jesus is what makes you a qualified, cleansed, holy, worthy, if you don't remind yourself of that, then you're going to have condemnation. You're not, and the word condemnation means the expectation of punishment. You see, if you have the expectation of punishment because you don't believe that the blood of Jesus has washed you clean, then this is going to mess up your whole life. It's going to mess up your health. It's going to mess up your emotions. This is why Christians are depressed. Christians diddle around in sin. They destroy their confidence. They destroy their self-worth. They really cause their heart to condemn them. They can't believe the truth about who they are in Jesus. And then they don't believe that the blood of Jesus washes them clean. As a matter of fact, there's people out there now preaching some kind of flim-flam message in the name of grace, as if sin doesn't matter, as if living a godly life doesn't matter. Well, I got news for you. I got enough years of ministry experience. And you know, I had a substance abuse clinic, and most of the people I treated were Christians, and they were crazy, and they were losing their minds because they were eaten up with guilt because of the life that they were living, and they had destroyed their confidence in the blood of Jesus. Well, buddy, you take that cup and you remind yourself. See, this is the way you do it worthily. You remind yourself of the truth. And listen, if you're struggling with something, that's when you say, Father, you just tell him, I'm struggling with this. And the Word of God says that sin has no power over me. So evidently, the only reason I'm struggling is I think I've got to have this to be happy. I think I need this for my life to work out. I think I've got to have this. And all my emotions say that, all my feelings say that. But Father, I want to tell you something. Your Word's more true than my feelings. Help me here. Help me, bring me to a place, because I'm saying sin has no power over me, even though I'm struggling with it, and I'm believing that your grace is sufficient to work in me to take me out of this. Now, let me tell you something. Grace can't take you out of any sin that you don't want to get out of, and you'll stay where you are. You can pray all the right prayers, but if you don't have the intention to overcome something, you'll never overcome it. So, You want to remind yourself of the blood of Jesus. I tell you, you might, before you drink that cup, you might want to meditate for however long it takes until a revelation explodes inside you about the power of the blood of Jesus. And then it goes on to say, it says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what does it mean to discern the Lord's body? Well, what happened in his body? Well, I'll tell you what happened in his body. By his bruising, we are healed. God, the Bible says, bruised him with sickness and disease and infirmity. It wasn't the stripes of the Roman soldiers. It was the bruising of God. It was what God laid on him. The curse of the law was poured out on Jesus. As a matter of fact, in the Hebrew, it talks about how all of this met violently on him or in him while he was on the cross. So this means that I need to remind myself that whatever struggles are going on in my body, whatever pain I'm having, Jesus took this. I don't have to take this. This does not have to be mine. Now, but let me explain this to you. It's highly unlikely that you'll connect to what Jesus did for you in his body if you don't first connect to what he did by his blood. If you don't connect to the washing and the cleansing that he has given you, and if you have no desire for that cleansing, your heart is going to condemn you. I have found in working with people, you know, in our clinic, we treated substance abusers. That was our main thing, but we treated everything. I treated cancer. I treated everything that you can imagine. And what I found is the people that couldn't get well and the people that got sick the most were the people who had condemnation issues. Because if you feel unworthy of a good life, your heart will not let you have a good life. If you feel unworthy to be healthy, your heart will not let you be healthy. It's not God doing it to you. It's your own heart. It's your own belief systems. But when you connect to the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and you accept that as your own and you call yourself clean and holy and righteous and washed and all of that, and whenever that becomes your reality and when that's the life that you're committed to, there's not going to be any room for condemnation. And then in the absence of that condemnation, you're going to be able to behold what he's done in his body, and you're going to be able to let go of. What do you mean let go of? I mean you're holding on to. When you have condemnation, you hold on to sickness. You hold on to pain. You hold on to poverty. You hold on to heartbreak. You know why you hold on to it? Because that's the punishment that you, at a very deep level, believe that you deserve for whatever's going on in your life. I want to tell you something. Condemnation is the root cause of more illness than any other single factor in the entire world. And he goes on to say in verse 30, for this reason, many are weak and many are sick among you and many sleep. In other words, many die. Why? Because they're not discerning the blood and the body. They're not reminding themselves. They're not having fellowship. Remember, you know, we've talked about this in Philemon. It says that the communication or the communion, the sharing, what you have in common with Jesus, that the communication of your faith, it says it literally in the original language, it says it becomes activated when you start acknowledging all the good things that you have in Jesus. In other words, when you take communion and you start acknowledging what you have in Christ, when you start acknowledging what the blood has done for you, when you start acknowledging what was done for you in his body, it activates your faith. Your faith wakes up. Your faith comes alive. Your faith becomes active and powerful. Your faith starts producing something because it's all rooted in what you share in common with Jesus. Verse 31 says, if we'd judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. Now, again, what does that mean to judge myself? I got to judge myself based on the Word of God, based on the finished work of Jesus. I've got to look at this and I've got to find myself worthy based on the finished work of Jesus. Then we wouldn't be judged with the world. And remember, the word judge can be a positive thing or a negative thing. You see, the world is living under judgment or under condemnation. It says, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord. Well, that word chastened means to child train. It doesn't mean to whip, doesn't mean beat, doesn't mean to scourge. Whenever I am willing to see this thing the way God sees it, then I can be trained like a child by the Lord and brought into this. So this might be where you want to take the bread and say, Father, I thank you that the body of Christ, I've been made clean by the blood. I'm washed. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm called. I'm anointed. I'm chosen. I'm righteous because I'm in him and I'm washed in the blood. And take the bread now and acknowledge in his body, he bore my sickness and disease. He bore my infirmities. He bore all so that I wouldn't have to bear it in my body. I'm alive with him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, giving life to my body. I am not condemned with the world. I am not condemned by my own conscience. I am washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his body, I am whole. Keep in mind, just like Jesus had to overcome your sin and all of these things, for his body, his spiritual body to come up out of that grave, he had to overcome all your sickness. He had to overcome all your disease, all your pain, all your infirmity. And you say, well, Jim, do you ever struggle with health problems? Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. But you know something? This is the way I try to walk out of them. This is the way I experience the grace of God. And I experience grace for grace. You know, some days I'm experiencing the grace to just overcome it, keep moving, move beyond it. Some days I'm experiencing the grace for a complete and total healing. But the thing is, we got to wrap our lives around what was done through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what we're experiencing, no matter what's going on, this has got to be the shelter that we run to, the shadow of the cross, the place where Jesus died, the throne of God, the place where Jesus has been raised up and where he's seated, the inheritance that we share in him. This is what it means to share in resurrected life. This is what it means to commune with the Lord. This is the one thing that we have in common with him, the death, burial, and resurrection. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start making this the focus of your faith, every single thing in your world is going to change. Nothing, nothing, nothing is going to ever be like it was before. You know, I want to share a mentoring moment with you. And if you didn't take communion during this period of time, then maybe before you come back for the mentoring moment, you can put this on pause and take communion, connect with God, and come back and I'll share something with you that I think will be incredibly positive, incredibly strengthening for your faith. Because I want to tell you something. I want everybody in the world to get their whole life wrapped around the death, burial, and the resurrection. If you're in Edmonton, I want to invite you April the 4th through the 7th to the Doxa Conference. We're going to be talking about 3 days that changed everything. And then May 16th through the 18th, we're going to be in Victoria, B.C. for a Limitless Living Seminar. And I'll tell you something. If you're having trouble keeping up with all the stuff that comes out of here, my daily quotes, my daily inspirations, be sure and get our phone app. If you get our phone app every day, you'll get an inspirational quote from me. You'll get our magazine on it. You get our Impact Television on it. You'll get my itinerary on it. You'll get all the things that we have. Plus, you'll get all kinds of special offers that nobody else doesn't get. So be sure, April the 4th through the 7th, Edmonton, Canada, Doxa Ministries, May 16th through the 18th, Victoria, BC, Canada, Limitless Living Weekend. It's going to be an incredible time. I want you to be there. I love it when I get to meet you, and be sure and let me know that you saw this. I want to know that you're watching our program because we're trying to reach the whole world. 3 days to change the world is probably one of the most important, if not the most important, messages you're ever going to hear about what we need to believe about Jesus. You see, when the Bible talks about our faith in Jesus, it's not just the faith in what he did when he walked planet Earth. It's faith in what he did on the cross, after the cross, and at the throne. Until you believe the truth about what happened from the cross to the throne, you're just experiencing a limited portion of what Jesus died to give you. You know, if it seems like I'm extra passionate about that, it's because I am. There is nothing more important to you as a believer and to the body of Christ than connect to the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. This is going to be, according to the Bible, what's going to get people through the tribulation. This is how your faith comes alive. This is how healing works in you. This is how every promise of God comes alive inside of you. And there's probably nothing that is more under-preached than this. Listen, you go somewhere, you get alone. You go to my heartphysics.com website and download the background music so that you can just meditate and ponder Jesus on the cross. Meditate and see yourself in him and see all of your sickness, all of your disease, all of your pain, all of your sin. See it in him and then see yourself die with him. See yourself in the grave with him and meditate and imagine and see Jesus come up out of that grave with you in him, leaving all of that behind. See yourself with him when he casts Satan out of heaven. See yourself in him when he sits down at the right hand of God. See and experience and imagine yourself in him as he receives his inheritance that is shared with you. Do everything you can to bring every aspect of your thoughts, feelings, emotions, and imaginations, just like the Bible says, set your imagination on these things that are above and not these things that are beneath. And I really encourage you, get the series, 3 Days That Changed the World, because the more you know about the victory that Jesus won on the cross, the more you're going to be able to connect with your personal victory. You can't operate faith in something you don't know. And most people really don't know what happened on the cross. They don't know what happened in the grave. They don't understand what happened in the resurrection. They don't understand what happened after the resurrection. And the message of the cross is not just the fact that Jesus died on the cross. It's what happened to him while he was on that cross. What happened to him when he was in the grave. What he had to overcome. What happened in the resurrection. What happened when he got to heaven. What happened when he received the inheritance and how all that affects you. There is nothing more important to your faith than this message.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.